Council is in order at 4:02 PM. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Mr. DeLuise? Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Kirby? Mr. Kirby?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. Muto?
Here.
Mr. Napa? Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Eight present.
Councilman Ricks, you want to lead us in the salute to the flag?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the
First up is general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to offer a moment of silence for our former colleague, Councilman John Del Judas, who passed away a little over a week ago. John had served on the city council for over 8 years, and his last term, he had somehow convinced me to run and take his place. John was a strong advocate for his constituents and had done a great job. It's unfortunate that one of his wishes was to see Del Judas Park refurbished, and unfortunately, he's not going to quite make the total completion. But John did a great job. He was very dedicated to the city and his constituents. He was also the vice chair of the Board of Canvassers here in Warwick. So if we could have a moment of silence. Thank you.
Please have a moment of silence for Mr. Del Judas. Anything else for general communications? Seeing none, we move on to executive communications. There are none. Next, we move on to public comment, Rule 41. After general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes, during which citizens may comment about Warwick city government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak. Provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly amongst the speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. Do we have anyone signed up to speak? First up, we have Rob Cody. And I know I already said your name, but please, when you get to the mic, just identify yourself.
Just going to set my timer. Give me a second, please. Rob Cody, Ward 7. Well, it's no surprise that I'm here to say I'm disgusted with the way the city runs its finances. It's deplorable. I've been saying it for a long time. There is no fiscal management in this city, and ultimately we're going down the road of insolvency, but we're going a lot faster than anybody ever thought. This budget has gone up $60 million in the last 5 years. That's unsustainable. Combined with the schools, combined with all the giveaways, the raises, it makes no sense to me. A few weeks ago, we had an emergency meeting because the school committee produces a $9 million deficit. Where's the superintendent that was in charge? Never been called to face the music. See you later. Bye. Retiring. Ran it into the ground. Now I'm retiring. Nobody does anything. 5 days after that meeting, this administration and this council gave away 14% raises. In the private sector, that behavior would result in termination, if not prosecution. But what do we do in the city? We ignore it. The school department's a mess. The city's a mess financially. The health system is a mess. The roads are a mess. I don't think we can point to anything that's doing the right thing. In 2000 or 2001, the Botten-Gilman report in the school department determined that the school department, quote unquote, was a fiscal train wreck. The union came and said they don't know what they're talking about. What happens? $9 million deficit. Person running the show doesn't even get to have a question asked to her. Water department. What do we have? Lawsuits from the water department because of the way the employees act. What are we doing? You guys seen me come before you. How many times have you seen the videos that I show our city workers knowingly and willfully screwing off, hiding out, not performing any work? That's called theft, and they should be fired immediately. What happens? Nothing. We don't do anything. Yesterday, I see a water department worker driving all around the city, goes out behind the old Ann and Hope, parks his truck between the U-Haul cars and hangs out, does nothing. What happened? Nothing. This morning, 10 o'clock, engine 6, engine 2, 6 guys in Day's Market. Engines left unattended and running. 6 guys. They weren't on a run. Let me familiarize you, for those of you that don't have any clue, what the DPW contract states in Section 6, that they shall have an employee productivity and efficiency program to monitor the productivity of the employees. It's been in there for 8 years. Hasn't been implemented. You got a contract that no one's following. And these employees are laughing at the administration. I get calls from good, hardworking employees all the time. They tell me where people are hiding out. They're laughing at this administration because they take no steps to admonish anybody that's screwing the taxpayer. And what's the end result? Raise the taxes. These are the priorities. Suck up to the unions. Don't do anything. Raise the taxes. Monday, I was approached by a police officer who tells me I cannot use a bullhorn in public. And when directly behind him was the head of the teachers union with a bullhorn. This is another lawsuit that I'll be lodging against the city for violation of my First Amendment. What are we doing? The city's out of control. The budget's out of control. The spending is out of control. And we're going down the road that we're not going to be able to recover from. And quite frankly, I'm tired of coming here. This city's finances, what the administration should do is in the summertime, drive through the streets, find some of these little third graders that have a lemonade stand and sit with them and let them teach you how to run finances, because that's the way the city runs. $350 million school project, not enough. I told you that 3 years ago. Now we need another $50 million. The interest on the bond, if it's perfect, goes the right way, $13.5 million. 8.6 is what we can raise with a maximum tax increase. Where's the money going to go? Nobody knows. We spend millions designing tollgate. Then afterwards, we do a core sample to find out this ledge. It's tiresome coming here. This is not a professional place. The people that are running this city have their own problems financially, personally, and it's now coming down to the residents. And the city's going down the tubes, and we're not doing anything about it. Thank you.
Next up is Bob Cushman.
Good evening. Robert Cushman, Ward 1, former Warwick City Councilman, maybe future City Councilman, we'll see. I sent out an email to every member of the council depicting some spending trends in the city in the budget. Hopefully you received that and you took a look at it. One of the things I've always said about the city council and even the mayor, the way we run the budget, we don't do it the right way. We look at past spending, we look at the current fiscal year, and then we look at the next year. We never look at any trends. So what I thought I would do, and I didn't send this to the administration, I should have. I looked at spending in five-year increments over the last 20 years. I've been keeping track of the budget now for 22 years. From 2007 to 2011, $23.8 million increase in spending. That's city and schools. 2012 to 2016, $23.8 million for city and schools. 2017 to 2021, $23.6 million. Pretty consistent spending in those 15-year period of time. I bet you if I asked anybody, what's the spending between 2022 and including this proposed 2026 budget, hardly anybody in this council chambers would probably know. Well, here's the answer, $60.4 million. Let me repeat that again, $60.4 million in the last 5 years when we've never gone over in any five-year period for the last 20 years, $24 million. You don't think that's a problem? Plus, that $60 million includes no new money for the $9 million plus deficit in the school department budget. We could be looking at potentially a supplemental tax increase maybe in the fall when the General Assembly gets back into session to figure out what that problem is. We're tapping the surplus for $3.8 million. I've seen people online talk about, you know, the analysis that I do. And they're saying, well, that $60.4 million covers all the new school borrowing. No, it doesn't. It's $4 million. It's 6.6% of that $60 million. We heard today, I listened a couple days ago, that there's another $10, $11 million in future borrowing for the high schools that's going to come in. That's probably going to result, could be in a supplemental tax increase. So the issues that we have here is our spending is out of control. By the time we get done borrowing money, and you know, I heard that the school department, they haven't broken ground now because they're finding contaminants in the soil. How much more millions is that going to be? We're going to put a $50 million bond, which is going to total $400 million in borrowing. The administration said there's other borrowing that's taking place for elementary schools that hasn't been realized yet. We're going to be at $1.3 billion in unfunded liabilities and debt in this city. $1.3 billion. We are going to be $200 million over our borrowing state limit set by law. And then we hear about future borrowing for building maybe elementary schools and things like that. This city, I can guarantee you right now, its credit rating is going to be reduced. We've already heard about this as a result of the overspending by the school department that our credit rating will probably be, I can guarantee it's going to be reduced. And then what do we have with the school department? The nerve of people to come into this council chamber, the school committee, the former superintendent who's never been held accountable to anything, to ask for more money. That is outrageous. I'm talking to a person that I live in with Ward 1. He's 79 years old. He's selling his home. 1 minute, I know. He has...
1 minute, Mr. Cushman.
He has to sell his home because he can't afford the tax increases. Nobody cares about the senior citizens. If you did, you would have been talking about senior tax relief years ago before you started building these schools. Four members of the school committee should resign in disgrace because they've seen what was going to happen with this and they've done nothing to correct the situation. So I just hope you start looking at the trends. $60.4 million in increased spending over the last 5 years. It's 255% of any other point in time in the history of the city. This city is in for a reckoning. I hope to lead the charge for angry taxpayers when they come in and start getting their tax bills, and maybe we'll get some people who are elected into office who want to look at and tackle this problem.
Next, we have Jim Ginolfi.
Good evening, Mr. Council President, members of the council, the mayor, and other city officials. It's been promised.
Can you just say your name for the record? I apologize.
What's that?
Can you just say your name?
Oh, Jim Ginolfi.
Thank you. Sorry.
No, it's all right. It is promising to hear that there are those on both sides of the city and the school side that are cooperating and working together. I would hope that the parties continue to work together and establish a true and lasting relationship for the future. As the acting superintendent, Mr. McCaffrey, so eloquently said, we are one city. On Monday, the mayor provided an additional $1.7 million+ in city revenue for our schools over the budgeted $400,000+. I thank you for that. I would hope that over the last couple of days since Monday, the mayor and the city council might have reached an agreement on providing some additional funding to close the gap that exists between what the budget was adopted by the school committee and what is on the table now. With that said, let it be clear, there's only one issue before you tonight. None of these other issues. The issue before you tonight is what will be the dollar amount of local city revenue, that this city council will approve in order that our schools have the necessary funds in their school's operating budget, the operating budget, to provide our students with a sound education. So you must ask yourselves, what is the fair share of local revenue that our schools should receive? And in order to ensure that both the city side and the school side receive their fair share of local city revenue, we must debunk the myths that some individuals spread. One must look at the total local revenue that the city raises in order to answer the question of what is the fair share for the schools. The biggest half-truth is that of the property tax. It's true that 58%+ of the property tax goes to the school side and 41%+ of the property tax goes to the city side. The schools receive 143+ million of that amount, and the city receives 101+ million of that amount. But as Paul Harvey says, for those who are old enough, or maybe those who are young enough to know who he was, and now for the rest of the story, the property tax is only one component of the local revenue. It's not the only source. The city raises approximately $45 or $46 million+ in local revenue from other sources, all of which goes to the city side of the budget. So the property is 60-40, the rest is 100-0. Think about that. Is that a fair share? And you're going to say, well, the city's providing principal and interest on the debt. Take that number out. Here's some statistics. Of the $290+ million on the city budget, $146+ million, or approximately 50.5%, of the local revenue that the city raises go to the city. Of that amount, 49.5% goes to the school side. What's the fair share? When the principal and interest on both the city and school bonds are excluded, the city receives 47.5% of the local revenue, and the school side receives 52.5%.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Ginolfi.
Thank you. A vast difference from what the property tax is. That needs to be changed, because all you hear for the critics who, for whatever their reason and motivation, make false and misleading statements such as the schools are responsible for the city's financial burdens. The schools receive the lion's share of the city revenue. It's the schools' problems why we're raising the property taxes. That's false. But I would hope that you consider what's the fair share of the city. Thank you very much.
Darlene Netko.
Hello, Darlene Netko, Ward 7, President of the Warwick Teachers Union. I want to just repeat one thing Mr. Genolfi said, which was that it was heartening to hear the other night Mr. Sinapi acknowledging that the schools and the city are working better together. And the fact that the mayor was able to find some more money in the budget to give to the schools. The other night, I had a whole list of items that I brought up to you. I just wanted to summarize today, just to remind everybody that for a number of years, the schools and the city weren't working so well together. Whosever fault that was, we won't go into, but they weren't. And to that end, when it was allowed back in the around the Great Recession time, that the schools were able to be underfunded up to 5% below the maintenance of effort. Warwick was the only city or town that took the full 5% and never gave it back. Furthermore, Warwick became the only city or town to make the schools pay the interest on the bond from 2006. It was a previous mayor and a previous school committee chair. In order to release the bond money, the chair agreed to pay the debt service on the bond. So therefore, for probably about 10 years worth of time, the schools had to, before they did anything else, put $1,000,005 into their budget to pay that interest. Couple that with the money they never got back, schools operating under a deficit. 2016, schools were closed, consolidated. 72 layoffs, 65 layoffs. 2018, more schools consolidated, closed. There are houses going up now where some of those elementary schools sat. Those students, those children in those houses are going to have to go to school. We hear nothing about why schools are so important. We hear why schools are terrible and draining the economy and ruining the city. The schools are the future. The kids need to be educated. I know some people would like to put 500 kids in an auditorium and one teacher on the stage and call that an education. That's not an education. We have lost faculty over the years. We have downsized class. We've lost classroom teachers. And as I pointed out the other night, at the same time, though, we've gained support personnel. We have more special ed teachers. We have more social workers. We have more nurses. There was a time when one nurse took care of multiple schools. We have one nurse in each school, and that's the way it should be given the needs of the children that are in the schools. We used to have one social worker that did a high school, a junior high, and all the elementary feeder schools. We have two social workers now in three of the secondary schools, one social worker in the other, and then multiple social workers for the elementary schools. We have multiple psychologists now. We have OTs, PTs, speech, and we have these because the children that we have in the schools need them. Their IEPs dictate that they have them. I know I hear a lot of talk of you can cut 100 more teachers. You cannot. We already have overages in classrooms, and the students need the other services that the other professions provide. And if you are going to properly educate the kids, which I hope you would want to do, then you need to have the personnel to do it. And that also includes teaching assistants.
You have 1 minute, Ms. Netko.
Thanks. That also includes teaching assistants and clerks and custodians, all of whom are being cut along with teachers in this budget. So while I know some people would love to just decimate the school department and chastise it for mistakes of the past and berate it and beat it into the ground. I have spent 35 years in this school system, and just probably about everybody in this room or many people in this room graduated from this school system. And if we want Warwick to be a great city as it can be and as it is, I said on Monday, I appreciate our police service. I appreciate our fire service. I appreciate our DPW. If you want to pay fewer taxes, my sister lives in Charlestown. Their taxes are low. They have to pay for their garbage removal. They have a volunteer fire department. We have a good city here. We can have a great city. We're one city. That's the schools and the city
time
side. Thank you.
That concludes Rule 41. Next, we're on to PCR 65-25 relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. Let's go to Councilman Lattiser for a recommendation.
Move favorable action on PCR 65-25.
Motion made for favorable action. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilman Napa. All right. So first things first, are we going to do the omnibus? No, shaking head, no. Brownie face. Got it. Any questions regarding any transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations? All right, it's moved and seconded, so clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
So next is PCR 66-25, resolution adopting the budget and estimating the tax rates of the City of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2025 and ending June 30th, 2026, inclusive of FY26 general funds, FY26 personnel funds, FY26 special and capital funds budgets. This is Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 66-25.
Motion for favorable action. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilman Muto. So first things first, we need someone to move, and then we need a second regarding the omnibus corrections from the mayor's office for various line items in the budget.
So moved.
So moved by Councilman Napa.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. All right. Solicitor.
Councilman Napa moves and is seconded by Councilman Lattiser, an amendment at the request of the administration to make corrective matters identified during and resulting from conversations in the public hearing. This is a lengthy series of numbers, so bear with me. I'm going to read them in order as follows. It'll be a department number, the line item description, the number that was originally proposed, the change that is requested, and the total impact of what that would have. In this, there are a series of these, so please bear with me. And they are in order of department for those flipping through the book. The first piece of the amendment is Department 30-105. This is police salaries crossing guards. The original amount was $130,000. The amendment seeks to reduce it by $6,000, resulting in it being $124,000. The second piece of the amendment is regarding Department 30-271. This is police communications / radios. The original request is $180,000. The amendment is to increase this by $6,000, resulting in a total of $186,000. The next piece of the amendment is Department 35-105, fire-salaries, fire 2. The original proposal was $4,431,288, and it is seeking to reduce that amount by $125,768, resulting in a new total of $4,305,520. The next piece of the amendment is Department 35-310, Fire-Rent. There was no original proposal. It is seeking to be increased by $125,768, resulting in the same amount. The next piece is 35-799, Fire Miscellaneous Capital Expenditures. The original proposal was $1,875,000. There is a request to reduce this by $1,550,000, resulting in a new total of $325,000. Department 44-101, Appanagh Rank Salaries Municipal. The original proposal was $263,246. The amendment is to reduce this by $75,000 for a new total of $188,246. The next piece is regarding Department 63-101, Public Works Highway Salaries Municipal. The original amount of $3,555,205 is being reduced by $235,140 for a new total of $3,320,065. Department 63-380, Public Works Highway General Services, original amount $850. Amendment is to increase it by $90,000 for a new total of $90,850. Department 70-224, Public Works Field Maintenance Propane Gas. The original amount of $10,000 is seeking to be reduced by $7,500 for a new total of $2,500. 70-304, Public Works Field Maintenance Natural Gas. Original amount of $20,000 to be reduced by $7,500 for a new total of $12,500. And the last piece is regarding Department 89000. This is the school department appropriation. The original amount was $194,442,909. And the amendment would increase this by $1,785,140 for a new total of $196,228,049. That is the administration amendment that's been moved and seconded, Council President.
All right, so the goal here is, even if you don't necessarily agree with where the money's being changed, if we could please get this passed so that way we're all operating off of the same numbers. So that way if you want to move the funds from elsewhere or go different spots, we can. There's nothing stopping you. So if you don't like, say, for instance, where the money's going for police, for fire, or for schools, after the amendment, you could say, well, I want to propose to move that money that we just moved from that one to the other one. But it makes it simpler. We've done it a different way before, and it makes it very cumbersome and very difficult to keep track of everything. So that's my preference for how far we proceed. And I'm being signaled. Chief?
Yeah, good evening. Bill Pesenti, Chief of Staff to Mayor Picozzi. I apologize. While the line item number and the department is correct in the title, the dollar amount on 35-105, Fire Salaries, Fire 2, the proposed and final numbers, I actually was taking that from the overtime line. So the actual proposed in the 2026 budget is $19,723,598.73. The dollar amount of the reduction is the same, $125,768. And the, I believe the final.
Chief, if I'm hearing you correctly, the transmittal just had the wrong baseline amount in it.
Correct.
The requested transfer is the same?
The requested transfer is the same.
Okay, so to to correct the amendment that was read. This is just a clerical matter. So 35, and I have my book in front of me. For those of you, it's on page 22. 35105 salaries-fire 2. The number that was read into the record was incorrect. That was the 4.4 million or so dollars. It is actually 19,723,598.73. That would be reduced by the same $125,768. If there's no objection, Mr. President, the amendment could be.
Is there any objection to that clerical correction? All right, seeing none, so now we have the full omnibus amendment proposed. Does anyone have any questions on the omnibus amendment proposed by the mayor? Right, seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes as amended.
All right, so now we have before us the budget as amended. So now people likely have requests, potential changes, comments, concerns. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Is this an appropriate time to move an amendment?
Absolutely.
Thank you. So, pardon me, I'll just make sure to have this.
Is it one you already provided to the solicitor?
It is. It is. So this amendment, I move to transfer $45,000 from the Board of Canvassers line item 17-495 to Police Department line item 30-140 night program, which would bring line item 30-140 to $90,000 and bring line item 17-495 to $10,000. If one of my colleagues may second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. So for discussion, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So, especially in a year where we are looking at what's proposed as a very hefty tax increase, I think that it's important to try to avoid reducing services that provide particular value to constituents. I don't know about every other ward here in the city. Obviously, each of you was elected for your own wards to provide constituents, make sure that the constituents are receiving the services that they're requesting, advocating for constituents. Speaking strictly as the councilman from Ward 2, one of the issues that I hear the most about is safety and traffic enforcement. It's most definitely a top 10 issue, probably a top 5 issue most years. One of the most effective tools that we have to address this constituent concern is the night program, a list that we each provide to the police department for that additional overtime so that we have some police officers out there enforcing those stop signs and speed limits. And that really is the most effective tool in order to change the behavior of drivers on the road, especially in those problematic areas. Drivers who get in the wrong habits, when they start to notice that police officers are there a little bit more often, different times of day, can't necessarily predict it. Drivers start to get a little bit more conscientious about how they're driving through our neighborhoods. This amount of the $45,000 effectively represents, if my math is correct, approximately 0.02% of the total budget. I think that in a year such as this, even in a year such as this, we can spare that amount in order to make sure that this level of constituent services is funded at the same level as we had budgeted for last year. I understand, of course, that for many years it had been budgeted at the proposed amount of $45,000, and we raised it last year because it had not been raised in over a decade and a half. We need to keep up with inflation on this one, and the need for enforcement of traffic safety simply does not go away. The reason that I'm suggesting transferring this particular amount from the Board of Canvassers, line item 17-495, is because we heard during the presentations that the Board of Canvassers anticipates at least one special election. I think that we have good cause to anticipate at least one special election, although it's not certain. I think that anticipating a second special election is quite speculative. So I don't think that it's truly necessary to budget for a second citywide special election when it's not even entirely certain if we're going to have one, much less two. Further, leaving $10,000 in that line item, in the event that there is a local election, say the size of a ward or rep district or the like, that amount would certainly be useful in going towards a local election like that, but I don't see a need for us to budget for a speculative second citywide special election in that manner. So, those are my comments. I'll yield to my colleagues. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I concur with Councilman Ricks on this. I actually had that also as my amendment. I agree with his position with the highly unlikely circumstances of a primary election in addition to a special election. However, my allocations were different on the 55,000. I would certainly support your $45,000 move over to the night program. I was going to be dealing with that in a different place, but that's fine. However, I would like to amend your motion to move the remaining $10,000 into asphalt.
I would agree if what would be the best way to amend my motion?
I would suggest if there's any other discussion and then we could get into technicals.
Thank you. I would yield.
Councilman Gebhardt.
My only comment on this one would be in prior years I would tend to agree, but I think we should just all be conscious that this particular budget has $4 million in revenue coming from the installation of new speed cameras and red light cameras. So there will be significant and substantial behavior change that comes from that. In speaking with a few members of the traffic division at the police memorial last Sunday, I think it was, you know, they're struggling to keep up with the federally funded grant programs and the other initiatives that they have to, and so that's part of the lack of uptake on the, you know, we didn't consume the budget for this program for last year. So I would just suggest that, you know, in the interest of public safety, the speed cameras and the red light cameras are going to, you know, do far more enforcement in a relatively automated way than we've ever had before. So, I mean, this is peanuts in this budget, as you say. So, you know, I don't really have a problem with it. I just think logically there's going to be other things happening. So that's it.
person. Councilman Napa.
Just as a response, I appreciate Councilman Gebhardt's concern and, well, analysis of being appropriate with our allocations given the other efforts we're making for speed and traffic enforcement across the city. I think it's important also to keep in mind that for the latter third of this fiscal year, there were four new members of the council that were still getting used to how we can and what monies we can allocate to enforcement in our neighborhoods. And that was a fact that I just recently learned, admittedly. So it took us a little bit of time to realize that there was funds there that we could expend to benefit our wards, in which I plan personally. I know my constituents would probably share the same sentiment that they would be more than willing to expel those funds. You know, there is no guidebook to tell us what things we can cannot do, so we're all learning. And I think that the latter third would have seen some more spending if we had known at the onset that those funds were available. So I think an allocation of $90,000 this year would be appropriate, so we can spend those as freely as we wish to enforce traffic in our particular wards. And if we need to adjust once we see the realization of the speed cameras and the impact, the halo effect that may have on the city, then maybe we adjust that down next year. That's my only thought.
Mayor?
I don't have a little light. No, I'd be supportive of this amendment. We're going to probably most likely have one special election, and that's when you gentlemen are going to quit. I don't anticipate a second one, but we have a contingency fund. Should that need arise, we could find something else. Councilman, it's a very good program, and as the deputy chief said the other night, we just haven't had the members willing to do it, but we have 12 recruits coming. Since I've been mayor, we were budgeted for 175 offices. We've never had more than 152 or 153 at any time. So they're tired from overtime. That's why we haven't. But hopefully, I mean, it's a great program. So I'm very supportive of this. And as I said, we can make it work with a special election. Councilman, your amendment, and we'll take all the asphalt money you want to give us, but are you talking about the DPW line item for the crack seal and the potholes? I'm sorry? When you said asphalt, there are two different places. There's paving, which $10,000 wouldn't make a huge difference. In the DPW budget, we have a asphalt and paving line item, but that's for crack seal, pothole repair, and that.
Good point, Mayor. I was sending it to asphalt 63290.
That's the one. Thank you. We could always use more on that.
So, Council Solicitor.
So Councilman Ricks has made an amendment to move $55,000 out of a primary election account and move $45,000 of that into the police night program. And Councilman Lattiser has made a request to allocate that $10,000 difference to the Public Works Highway Asphalt account. So first question, Mr. President, would be, is there any objection to amending, to updating the amendment accordingly?
Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
So the amendment before all of you now in complete form is as read. We're eliminating $55,000 from the primary election expense and redistributing those funds, $45,000 to the night program and $10,000 to Public Works Highway Asphalt.
Any further questions or comments on that? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Mr. President.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could respectfully make a suggestion, the council solicitor has asked and I believe received proposed amendments from each of the members of the city council in the interest of efficiency. Perhaps it might be appropriate for him to read those items out, those amendments, and if there are any remaining amendments to be made that have developed today, each respective council person could put them in the record at that point.
All right, Councilman Lattiser, do you want to have the solicitor go with the ones you sent in so we can handle those first?
Those at least we know about.
We don't know if just because someone may have pre-filed the concept with me, not shared with any of you, it's unclear whether or not someone would follow through based on there being overlap.
I
so
see.
At okay. this time, if are you recognizing Councilman Lattiser
yep.
for his? Okay. Would, with some of the items you shared with me, I would suggest, would you like to start with the other asphalt matters first?
Sure.
Would you like me to read
sure.
the electricity one?
Go ahead.
Okay.